Hi, I'm Danny Gusby, Executive Director of Fathers Resources International.
And I'm Heidi Nabert, President of the National Share Planning Association.
And we're your dynamic divorce duo. Welcome to Divorce Dad Weekly's Q&A session for Divorce Dad Roadmap, Secrets of Holidays and Christmas Series, Part 2, How to Have a Happy Holiday. So Heidi, let's get right to the questions we have from our listeners.
All right, Danny, and as I mentioned, we've got a lot of questions tonight in this series. I think this is a really sad time for a lot of people that are going through this and having to also contend with the holidays. And also happy to see that we have someone who's joined us for this particular webcast all the way from Fiji. That's pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
So let's actually just dive right into that Fiji question, because this comes from Azaria.
Okay.
He says, hi, from off the shores of Fiji, I'm away for the holiday. My daughter and her mom don't get along at all. How do I comfort my daughter and help her when she's alone for the holidays?
That's a really good question. When you're at a distance, I mean, one of the best things that I've found is virtual visitation.
Well, that's true. If your daughter has a computer with one of those cameras, now a lot of laptops have them built in these days, especially the newer ones.
Yep.
They automatically come with that. But you can purchase these cameras for a reasonable price these days.
Yep.
Less than $100, or even maybe half that these days. I don't know. I haven't looked in a long time. And that way you can actually speak to her and see her face-to-face and help her through this process. You know, part of this is also mother-daughter relationships can be challenging. You know, here's the difference that I always found between how mothers and daughters and fathers and daughters relate. You know, I think one of the things that I observe with dads and their daughters is that usually the daughters have the fathers kind of wrapped around their little fingers. And really, your daughter is always going to be the little princess. And I don't mean that in a condescending way at all. I mean that in a loving way, that, you know, your daughter is always going to be the most beautiful girl that ever existed, and that part of partly really gives them the self-esteem to believe in, you know, their abilities and so on. Part of it is telling her that in no way does she have to be alone. That you're there for her, even though you're not in the same country right now. You know, phone calls. There is something called Skype that also has video. You know, this would be something to just stay in touch with her and tell her you're thinking about her. Part of this is just connecting and checking in. The other thing is, you know, if she has access to email, you could send her a couple of e-cards. Just tell her that you're really thinking about her, and you know that you know, when can we talk again? And this is really, really tough. Danny, what would you suggest?
One of the other things, and this is a little bit more pricier, but than just the webcam and the computer,
mm-hmm.
That I've seen happen from time to time. Is there are these things called flip cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What a flip camera is, it's basically a little video camera. There's no moving parts. It's all done by memory. It has a USB connection that you can hook right into your computer. And it allows you to actually, you know, shoot video.
Yeah, very, very easy to use.
Very easy to use. And then you can upload it.
You can
email it, but you can also upload it onto YouTube. Okay, so like you can create yourself your own little YouTube channel.
That's true, and you could just send out messages to her.
You know, hi, this is what I'm up to today. You know, I'm out shopping today. Here's where I'm sailing. Here's where I'm, you know, I'm out on the beach today. You know, whatever it is that you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and she can do the same thing.
Exactly.
You know, I think it really comes down to it. It's only limited to your imagination. the internet really can play a pivotal role in doing things at a distance. I mean, think about this. Here you are, you're in Fiji, and you've been coming to the Toronto meetings for quite some time and had, you know, spectacular success,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, that itself is a whole other story. You know, we'll probably end up doing a teleseminar talking about that at some time if,
mm-hmm.
if he's agreeable to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do a teleseminar interview that we can share with people just so they can understand his experience. Here we are, we're doing all this, and we're doing it virtually. You're in Fiji, and here we are in wonderful Waterford, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can do the similar things. You just have to start taking a look on the internet as to what kind of tools could you use. There's also social networking tools, you know, like Facebook. Twitter could be another good one. Twitter probably would be an excellent one in this kind of situation. What do you think, Heidi?
Yeah, I mean, there's one other thing that might really make a big difference for her, and that is if you know one of her friends, or if there's something really special that she enjoys, you know, and again, it doesn't have to be expensive. There's a particular type of candy or chocolate or something that's really maybe reminds her of her childhood in a good way. You know, send something like that to her. Have it delivered. There's all sorts of chocolate places now that will deliver. And even now, this late in the day, late in the season, they'll still do a delivery. The other thing is there a place nearby where you can send her a fax? And then just send her an email. Say, you know, go to the local UPS store or Staples store, I sent you a fax, and write her a letter. Handwrite it, you know, the old-fashioned way. But this is a quick way of mailing it because you don't have to deal with the postage and the holiday mail. You know, these are all different creative ideas. Part of what will make her feel better, too, is reminisce about some really fun memories that you had of the time when she was really young. And, you know, those memories may bring a smile to her face during this really sad time.
Now, there's also Skype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I like Twitter. You know what I like about Twitter?
Mm.
Is that it's really immediate. It's only 140 characters you can type in. So, like, if you don't know what Twitter is, go to twitter.com. Heidi, maybe you can explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a microblogging site. It's free. Facebook would be another one to consider. Twitter is much, much less complicated, and certainly young people are, you know, getting into Facebook and Twitter in a big way, and it's a nice way to stay in touch. Twitter is something that you can also update and get access to on your cell phone, so it's completely portable if your daughter has something like that. So that's another really excellent idea. I hope that helps. If you have any more questions, Azaria, please let us know. All right, let's move on to Garrett has written in from Quebec. He says, I want to know if there's any such well-organized English dad divorce support group I can get to here in Montreal. Seems that my representative is getting me to lose everything. So I guess he's wondering if there's a similar type of group. There really isn't that we're familiar with. Danny,
there,
are you?
There's probably a local group of some kind, but understand that the work that we do very often is a lot different than what you would find at most regular father's rights groups. A lot of the work that happens at the father's rights groups is more geared towards the politics of what's going on. Most of the father's groups don't have any sort of counseling component or, you know, here's how to begin educating yourself and all those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the reasons why we put together Divorce Dad Weekly, was to give you points of contact. Now, what I could suggest is if you give us a call at the office,
mm-hmm.
If you go to the Father's Resources site, so that's father-resources.com, and the phone number is there. And you can give us a call, and you know, if we can hook you up with something within Quebec, you know.
Well, if anything's going to be there, it'll be in Montreal.
Will be in Montreal.
Yeah.
You know, we do have some contacts in Montreal. I haven't, you know, I'm thinking of some of the people that we know in Montreal that we haven't spoken to in a while. They could maybe tell us what's going on locally
mm-hmm.
these days.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Okay. All right. Salal has written in. He says, well, he's got a couple of things here. He says, when we separated, my ex agreed to have joint custody. She just recently wrote me an email confirming that. Now I found out that what I need really is shared custody, and I'd like to know, how do I obtain that? He says, I also have a savings plan for the kids, and I paid all of them from my own money. I asked my ex to sign to cash it out, but she refused. How can I force her to sign this?
Okay. Force, take that word out immediately.
Right.
It's not a matter of force. It's a matter of either, you know, the two of you can come to some sort of mature, reasonable agreement with one another, or you can't. And if you can't, then it comes down to, you know, that you are going to need to go into family court in order to obtain court orders. And when you go into court, you got to remember that you need to be educated about what that whole process is about, which is a big part of why we do what we do with Divorce Dad Weekly. And in your education process, begin to learn, you know, the procedure of the court, the rules of the court, the law, the forms, and so on and so forth. It's always in your best interest to have a really capable lawyer, if you can afford one. But having been at this for a good portion of my life, I'm no dummy when it comes to this. Most people can't afford a really good lawyer, and even if they can, they can only sustain that for a certain amount of time, and then they find themselves, you know, trying to make their way through the family court system with no information whatsoever. If you are in the Southern Ontario region, I would strongly recommend that you come on into our meetings in Toronto or in Hamilton. I would continue getting on to Divorce Dad Weekly and listening to the training. I would get onto the Father's Resource site, fathers-resources.com, and go into the free resources section and start learning everything I could about procedure, the law, and the forms. And then last but not least, if you actually can afford a lawyer, I'm going to give you a $1 million tip. So what do you think is the best way to qualify a lawyer that you are looking for?
Sorry, Danny, were you asking me a question?
Yeah. What's the best way to qualify a lawyer?
Oh, show me the court order where you got shared custody for a father. If that's what your goal is, that's what you want to be looking for.
Now, be aware there'll be a few challenges. Sometimes lawyers won't, they simply won't show you anything, okay? You're not going to be wanting to work with those lawyers. If they're not willing to back up with what they say with some proof, well, then they're not worth anything, in my humble opinion. You'll be wasting your time, you'll be wasting your money. There'll be those who will say, well, they'll quote, you know, privacy issues, and while there may be some validity to that, at the end of the day, all court orders are, you know, public documents, unless they've been sealed by the court.
Mm-hmm.
However, bring you along a little magic marker, Sharpie with you, to black out, you know, all the identifying information. All you need to see is it's a court order, that the lawyer represented a man, and that the man got the order that you're looking for.
Right.
I'm going to tell you that's going to be a big challenge for you in many, many ways because, in my experience, 99.999% of the lawyers don't know how to help a dad.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them have never obtained those kinds of orders. There are some that have, but the vast majority haven't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the biggest challenge that you will find. But making that kind of effort will lead you in the right direction rather than the wrong direction. There's nothing worse for a case than heading in the wrong direction quickly. To quote a mentor of ours.
Right. You're absolutely right. There's nothing worse than that,
yeah.
Without question.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Habib has written in. He has quite an interesting situation here. He's first of all, Habib works out of the country.
Yes.
For 3 months at a time, then
yes.
Comes back for 2 months.
Right.
So he works overseas for 3 months and then comes back for 60 days. During the time that he was away, and when he came back just recently, he found that his wife had moved in a boyfriend during the time he was away.
Right.
And it's led to him being arrested. They accused Habib of threatening death threats and assault, and it's not a good situation. He's basically been removed from his home.
Oh, boy.
And
he's going to need a very effective criminal lawyer.
Yeah. It looks like he's already got that.
Okay.
One of his questions is, he said he married his wife in another country.
Yes.
He says, is my divorce application take place in my the originating country or in Canada? He lives in Toronto.
Well, it's going to, you know, first of all, I can't give you legal advice, okay, because I'm not a lawyer. But, you know, it's going to rely to a great degree on, you know, your residency here and how long, you know, if you're a Canadian citizen and you've resided, you know, within the time requirements prescribed by law, that should be no problem. It wouldn't matter if you were married somewhere else.
Mm. Well, one of his concerns is that you know, the allegations that were made, the charges that he's facing are pretty severe. He says he already has a criminal lawyer, but he's really struggling with what's happened here. He says under no circumstances would he ever do something like this. You know.
Well, this is the whole thing, is when you find yourself in this kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very stressful, very unfair sort of situation when someone makes a false allegation against you. And that's why you would need extremely effective criminal counsel, because you can have some very serious consequences that can happen, you know, besides jail time if you were to, you know, be convicted.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Well,
part of what can happen is, you know, losing your ability, for example, to go to the United States or other countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Jacob has written in. He says this is his first time, so
yes.
Welcome, Jacob.
Welcome, Jacob.
Jacob's on a legal aid, working with a legal aid lawyer, and
yes.
The first thing he says here is, my lawyer refused to fight for me to have the kids on Christmas and New Year. All what I might get is from the 26th to the 29th, but it's still not confirmed. That's the first thing.
Yep.
He goes on to say that, unfortunately, he cannot speak to his wife because she's laid false criminal charges. And
that kind of a situation, some of the recommendations we made tonight would not be applicable, because if you've got a peace bond against you or terms of recognizance or bail that prohibit that, or there's a restraining order of some kind, you know, from the family court.
Yeah, you don't want to go there. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we covered, if there is a restraining order in place, you have to honor the restraining order and just focus on these things at another time.
That's correct.
Now, he goes on to say that he's got two kids, a son and a daughter, 8 and 4. And he says, my son... the other thing was, he said he was the primary caregiver for the two kids. So I guess since the criminal charges came about, he's pretty much not seen his kids at all.
Right.
He says, my son used to send me email. I do not know from where, but he was asking me when I can come back home. He says, what shall I say to him?
Boy, oh boy, that's really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
There is no really good answer for that. You know, I don't have a magic wand for that one. I think all you can do is comfort your son and just simply say, yes, I miss you too, and we'll spend whatever time we're allowed to spend together.
Yeah.
You know, and then until you begin working your way through this. Is he in supervised access right now?
You know what?
He
doesn't say. He said since September when the charges were first laid, he says he's only seen his kids twice.
Well, then that would suggest to me that he's not in supervised access, because if he was in supervised access, he'd be seeing his kid on a regular, you know,
mm-hmm.
basis while this is going on. Part of what you're going to have to do, I mean, this is the really tough part about these kinds of things, is that you're going to have to proceed on both fronts it's imperative for you to get your access started any way you can, even if it means agreeing to going into a supervised access center. Mm-hmm. And I know that that may sound crazy, but the longer that, you let it go on with no access is the more difficult, you know, your access is going to be as you go forward.
Right.
You know, your claim at the end of the day is regardless of whatever is being alleged, I'm innocent, haven't been proven guilty, this didn't involve the child, I'm prepared to do whatever you, Your Honor, order. But I think it's imperative that the child knows that I've not abandoned him. And because if in fact this is a false allegation, and if I am exonerated, then really what we're doing is we're empowering her to engage in child abuse.
Right. Yeah, this is really tough. You know, really, as far as your son goes, just tell him to be strong and that you love him, and that what's going on right now is probably won't make a lot of sense, but mommy and daddy are not getting along. And, you know, until all this is resolved, I you know, as much as I would love to see you and love to come and come back home, I can't right now. Right?
That's pretty much it, unfortunately. It's not an easy situation to navigate. However, you've got to start somewhere with it, and the place to really start is it sounds to me, and I don't have enough details to really know for sure parts of how it's come about, that your main problem with respect to the family court issue is going to be getting some sort of access schedule in place so your son can see you. It's not that so that you can see your son. It's so your son can see you.
Yeah,
there's a big world of difference in between those
right.
two perspectives.
It's not about you, it's about them.
When you make it about the child, I mean, then you're explaining to the judge, you know, the damage that's going on as a result of their actions.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of it is judges will make an assessment right there on the spot as to who they think you are. You know, if you look nervous and fidgety or you're angry or loud or any of those things, you seem out of control. They'll just assume that what the wife's talking about is true.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to look as demure and cooperative as humanly possible, despite the fact that, you know they're taking a poker stick to you, you know?
Right.
You know, that they're tying you to the whipping post and really letting you have it. The sad reality is the truth is it's not that they're letting you have it. They've tied the kid to the whipping post.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's something that we see quite often. But the fathers who are most successful at turning these things around, the first place that they start with is getting any kind of access whatsoever. It can be a fatal mistake to not agree to supervised access, thinking, well, why should I agree to that? Okay? Your kid knows nothing about that. Your kid just wants to see you.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll take two more. This is last call for anybody who's going to be phoning in this evening. And after that, we're going to wrap it up.
Okay, Danny. This is coming in from a sister.
Yes.
Liz says, even though my brother has a visitation order, his ex adds stipulations for him to allow him to see his son, such as he must stay at his house and can't take his son anywhere. It doesn't stop there. No one else can be there. She sometimes insists that she has to stay. If she thinks he's dating someone and he doesn't answer her questions about this, she will tell him that he can't see his son at all and that she's taking him back to court. He makes too much money to get legal aid, but not enough to continue paying for a lawyer. She has legal aid. What can he do to stop this, and can she continue to use legal aid to change an agreement when there is no danger to the child?
Well, first of all, if there's a court order that says here's the terms of access, you don't have to agree to any of her stipulations. And if she refuses to turn over the child and continues doing that, she's in contempt of a court order. And while I can't give you legal advice because I'm not a lawyer, I certainly can tell you in the 15 years that I've been working with guys, that's pretty much how it works. When you take someone in for a contempt proceeding, though, there could be some very, very severe penalties. So I don't think that that's necessarily the way to start with something like this.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is get this thing back in front of a judge and explain what's going on.
Right.
And then ask for specific orders that prohibit her from this kind of conduct, from making these kinds of conditions, because the order is there in order to facilitate time for the child to be with dad,
mm-hmm.
not for mom to interfere with that.
Right, right. Okay.
So,
yeah,
last question.
All right. This comes in from Rob. He says, I'm finding our son is behaving differently lately as his vocabulary increases.
Yes.
So has his choice of words. He's 2.5 now.
Yeah.
And we finally got him baptized after many months of me pressuring this event, as it was long overdue.
Yeah.
I've realized that our son seems to be linking certain words towards mom and starting to cry and linking other words to dad that are negative.
Mm.
At the baptism, when he first saw me enter the church, he said, Papa, and then the F word. Boy, that would have probably gone over really well in the church.
Oh, boy.
I believe this is something mom is implementing on our little boy. How do you attempt to prove this or have mom stop causing this? Is this a form of abuse?
Well, first of all, don't assume.
Right.
Because, you know, if you're going to try and make that kind of allegation, you have to be able to back it up and prove it.
Yeah.
How are you going to prove something like this?
Yeah, this is a real challenge.
You know, there's a million and one places the kid could have heard that word from. And while your suspicions may well be correct, they're suspicions until you have got evidence.
Mm.
How will you get that evidence? That's a good question.
Right.
Because that's going on behind her closed doors.
Yeah.
Where you're not witnessing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, however, there are people who are around who are willing to step forward and say, you know, I'm watching the following going on.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you could do, right,
right.
Danny?
That's the only thing I see in that kind of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is how you deal with it, you know, with the kid. If you start reacting, you know, and then reacting big time
mm-hmm.
or overreacting to it, that in itself can cause a problem, you know, for the kid, in that they're getting all kinds of attention that's not appropriate.
Right. I've got one final short question about Christmas, Danny, that I'm going to just sneak in here from Greg. He says, my question is, the court papers say, on Christmas Day, the respondent mother shall have access to the child on even-numbered years.
Yes.
The respondent father on odd-numbered years.
Yes.
On Christmas Day, what time legally can the respondent father pick up the child?
So the order doesn't specify it?
Oh, boy.
I think that you have to come to some kind of negotiated agreement. She's going to probably try and make it as late as possible. You're going to want to make it as early as possible. These are the kind of reasons sometimes that you go into court way before Christmas starts in order to get this kind of a wrinkle in
how,
the details.
How far way before, Danny? When would you start something like this? I mean, obviously,
well,
in the middle of December is not the time to be doing it.
You know, if it's a problem, okay?
Mm.
You know, like what's gone on from year to year? Like if she's picking them up on, if you're allowing them to be picked up at 8 o'clock in the morning and she's making it 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't think a judge is going to agree with that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Judge is going to say, well, why can't he pick them up at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Right.
Okay? So, I mean, you would use that as a basis of comparison.
The point is there's nothing legally written anywhere. There is no guidebook
on
that says...
On the time, you
the
see,
time.
And this is why it's become so imperative to become educated about these things, to understand, you know, what the orders mean, what's enforceable, what's not,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you think the order says versus what it actually says.
The worst kind of order...
What to do when you have problems.
I was going to say, the worst kind of order you want is one that says liberal and generous.
Dad can have access at Christmas time as the parties agree.
Yeah. So,
that means you're probably getting no access.
And
okay?
and if you and your ex can't even talk, how could you possibly agree on anything?
Right.
So you need to make sure that it is stipulated. And, you know, that would help if you could get that in your agreement or your court order that says, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that's the cutoff time. Because there is no real specific time. It's something that you have to work out.
Right. Well, that's all the time that we have for this installment of Divorced Dad Weekly.
Thanks so much for joining us, and please watch your email for updates and reminders for the next training sessions. Now, to sign up for reminders and our newsletter, please be sure to visit our main website at www.fathers-resources.com. Sign-up form is on the homepage in the top right-hand corner. Please go do that now so you don't miss any future training sessions. If you have any comments or feedback on tonight's call, we'd love to hear from you.
So that ends our Q&A call. We wish you all success with your challenges this week. Stay strong and focused on your goals. Refuse to be baited by anyone. And remember,
the most important job you'll ever have
is to be a dad.
Thanks so much for listening, and please have a happy holiday.